Jose says that he was never going to go to Manchester United. We're going to be looking at all of the footballing news, but I'm ready to say that we are joined and all set up and ready to go here on World Football Daily with our guest for today. We have a guest down at Ground Zero for the Confederations Cup today. He is a man who knows all about Brazilian football. He is, of course, from Snap, Kaka and Pop football blog. It is Mr. Mr. Jack Lang joining us here on World Football Daily. Jack, how are you doing today, mate? I hope you're doing better than me, who's struggling to even get any words out today. Probably because the excitement of football being back. You must be a pretty happy bunny down there, man.
Yeah, having a great time so far. Went to the Maracanã yesterday for the Italy v Mexico game. Just having a really good time so far.
And you're down in Rio in Brazil at the moment, and obviously the traditional kind of hub of Brazil. Everybody thinks Brazil, they think Rio de Janeiro. What's the atmosphere like for the Confederations Cup down here? Because we've seen obviously the tension and the protest outside the Maracanã as well yesterday for the amount of money being spent on World Cup preparations.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange time, obviously, because there are protests over spending. There are the president, Dilma Rousseff, was booed just before the opening game in Brasilia. There are a lot of kind of social issues that have come to the fore right now, a lot of it being based around an increase in bus fares. So it's a strange atmosphere to have started the Confederations Cup, but the atmosphere around the football has been really positive so far. I went to the game yesterday with a few Brazilians who used to go to the old Maracanã a lot, and they were a little bit apprehensive about how the new kind of the FIFA standard Maracanã would measure up to the old one, of course. But I think after the game, they were largely positive about it. They thought a really nice job had been done on the stadium. Organisational wise, I can tell you that it was almost flawless there. It was well signed, plenty of people around giving information. It was like, there have been a lot of doubts about whether Brazil can stage this tournament and particularly the World Cup to the standards that FIFA set. But I think, judging it by that kind of metric, I thought they did a really good job, at least at the Maracanã. I can't speak for the rest of the stadiums. Obviously, there's a little bit of sadness about how the kind of old feel of the stadium will probably disappear. There were people complaining about they probably wouldn't be able to bring their flags and banners in when domestic football returns. And even a couple of guys behind me were moaning about the shape of the goals. So the Maracanã goals always used to be very shallow at the top and kind of a steep netting. And now it's kind of those deep FIFA goals. So there are a few issues that people are going to, take a while to get used to. But the stadium experience yesterday was great.
I was going to say that it has had the refurbishment and that the FIFA style Maracanã and these FIFA approved stadiums generally seem to mean with these old ones that you take out a load of the seats, you put a load of boxes in and you build a decent roof on it. Of course, the Maracanã had that kind of two-tier system. It was that huge bowl, 110,000 people. You can't think of anything more spectacular than seeing that full. Do you think that this could lose the atmosphere for Brazilian international games in general when they're played there, and as well, of course, on a club day? Do you really think it's going to have that big an impact?
I think when Brazil play, I don't think it would be an issue because, Brazilian fans are so fanatical when the national team plays. And yesterday, obviously there wasn't much partisanship for either Italy or Spain. There were a few fans scattered here and there. But when the noise levels got up, when the goals went in, Balotelli got a huge boo when he threw his boot away after he got the decision. Like when on the flashpoints of the game, the noise was still incredible. Like I think the stadium maintains the noise level really well. I don't know how the structure of it works. My worry would be that during domestic games, I think something might be lost because in Flamengo games, Fluminense games, for example, they're used to having certain areas where standing is allowed. Big flags are waved. Kind of people are free to mill about. I think that might be an issue because, the new seats are very comfortable. They take up a lot more space than the old ones, obviously. Mm. So a couple of people who I spoke to after the game were wondering whether they might see fit to redo the seats after the World Cup to make it, more amenable to that Brazilian style of match day. So it's hard to say how that will pan out in the long run. I mean, I'm kind of slightly skeptical about the the changes that are made to these stadiums to get them past FIFA regulations. But like I said, if you're judging it by the, you know, the scale of international events, Olympic Games, World Cups, I think certainly fans that come over won't be disappointed by the quality of the stadium on offer.
What about you personally, Jack? I mean, there's always this kind of old versus new in any sort of construction, in terms of architecture, in terms of interior decorating when you're doing your house, etc. What about you as a football fan? Do you prefer that old classic feel, even in England as well as, of course, around South America? Or do you prefer the kind of the modernity of stadiums like the Estadio de Lutz of the Emirates and, of course, this new Maracanã? Is it on your personal preference?
I think it's very difficult to say. I think I'm of a generation where, you know, I haven't really seen the terracing of the past. I haven't experienced that, you know, the real traditional way of watching football. So I think I'm more used to that new style, the comfort level, the safety. What I will say, yesterday, I mean, outside the stadium, just the way it was organised, the kind of, even the number of security present, I felt, you know, a lot more secure than I had been on previous visits to stadiums in Brazil, Maracanã included. So that was entirely positive from my point of view. Inside, of course, what that means is that it's a more middle class crowd, the ticketing prices, etc. So while it felt kind of, you know, glitzy and glamorous, it didn't feel to me as Brazilian as matches I've been to previously, which, you know, obviously, that's a real shame, because part of the fun of football is, you know, different kind of feelings among supporters of each country, different ways of showing your fanship. And I think the push towards kind of standardization, really, I think that's the real loss, is going to be every stadium is eventually going to feel more or less the same. So yesterday it didn't feel too different from a game at Wembley or the Emirates. And I think, yeah, that's something that I think football is going to lose, and I think that it's going to be a bad thing for it.
You mentioned it's kind of a middle class kind of atmosphere around there. Of course, people's safety is a huge deal, especially for this World Cup, with there being so many questions about it being hosted in Brazil. The cost of being there is an expensive country to be in, from what I've been told to be in Brazil. I haven't been, unfortunately, myself. But also the safety, obviously, with the favelas in a lot of the areas of these cities, etc. This middle-class environment is probably what's going to be coming to the World Cup in general. Do you think it's going to stay and creep in a lot more into Brazilian domestic football once the World Cup's gone?
I think that's the fear, yeah. I think it's hard to say how the tickets will be priced after the World Cup. But already there seems to be, you know, a creeping up of prices around the board in Brazilian football. I think I saw a statistic where prices over the last 10 years have doubled by and large in most stadiums. Obviously, you know, that you can't really exclude the middle classes from watching football. They're often as fanatical as anybody. But what it does mean is that the Maracanã, which more than probably any other stadium in Brazil, is really seen as the stadium of the people. I mean, there's a chant that goes around that, like, the Maracanã is ours, the Maracanã is ours. And that kind of, like, kind of democratic feel to it, I think people are a bit afraid that will be lost, that the man on the street who's doing, you know, a manual labour and used to work all week to, you know, unwind at the game on a Sunday will not be able to afford that anymore, which, you know, would be a real tragedy, really. But I think it's really hard to say before, you know, those games are priced up after the World Cup. So I think we're going to have to wait and see on that one.
We will have to wait and see. It's, of course, something that happens across Europe as well. We've been talking about off the pitch a lot here, Jack. But let's talk about what's happening on the pitch with the Brazilian national team and their performance against Japan. We heard last week that there was, you know, a bit of apprehension, a bit of frustration from Brazilian fans going into the Confederations Cup. But not losing, I think, has lost one competitive game on home soil in 50 years. There's an expectation still for them to succeed. Did this settle any nerves? Does this stop any of the frustration at the Brazilian national team, this performance against Japan?
I think certainly, yeah. I think, well, the early goal, I think, did so much to kind of ease the pressure and get people on side. Brazilian fans can be an impatient bunch sometimes. So if that match had been, for example, 0-0 going into the second half, I think that would have put a lot of pressure on the team. As it was, obviously, Neymar scored that fantastic goal. breaking a bit of a dry spell for him as well. He'd gone 9 or 10 games without scoring. So that was you know, the ideal start for Brazil. And they really just kind of, from that point, they say, as they say in Portuguese, they just administered the game, i.e. they weren't in real danger of losing it. They just played simply and took the opportunities when they arose. Paulinho obviously scored that nice goal, and Man City favourite Joe scored at the end. But yeah, I think there's a sense that it's difficult to get too excited after one game, maybe two, because of the France game was quite impressive as well. But people are, I think, they're beginning to think that, you know, maybe the 2014 campaign could be successful. I think people are getting on side with Scolari now. There's a lot of debate over whether he was the right choice after Mano Menezes was sacked. I personally didn't think he was. But at this stage, I think, you know, they're not going to change trainers again. And he seems to be doing quite a good job. What Scolari is good at is kind of making a united dressing room. He seems to bring kind of the best out of the players he does have. And I think there's a sense that, you know, Brazil won't be favourites in a year. I think that's clear. But I think there will be expectation levels. I think a lot of fans will be thinking that if this Confederations Cup campaign continues to go well, Brazil really could be in with a chance of righting the wrongs of 1950.
Now, I don't want to be a traditional English pessimist and skeptic here, okay, Jack, but okay. Neymar's goal, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's saying, you know, it was a magnificent strike. It's this great goal, but from such an exquisite player as well. I've still struggled to see Neymar put in the kind of performance that we saw against Japan on a regular basis, a real quality performance, even in a Brazil shirt in these friendlies. And this goal doesn't seem like it was as tough as people maybe are making it out. Is there a lot of hysteria, do you think, around it? Or is it rightfully so that we're praising Neymar so much?
Well, I think the goal itself, I thought it was a fantastic goal. But what I think you could say is that that's kind of symptomatic of Neymar's performances, mainly with Brazil so far, that he's had, you know, the odd moment of real genius or quality, but he's struggled to do that throughout, you know, 90-minute games. I think that's probably a fair criticism. I don't think he's really quite hit the heights with Brazil yet. I think you could argue that there are other players who have been more crucial to Brazil's performances in the last 2 years. But what Neymar does do, like any star player would do, he draws a lot of the attention away from other players. So sometimes Neymar will have 2-3 people on him as he drifts, you know, to one of the flanks, leaving spaces in the middle. And, you know, people like Oscar and Paulinho really benefit from that because they burst into the penalty area with less marking on them. I think the hysteria around Neymar, I think it's only going to increase, really. I think by the time the World Cup comes around, he's going to be seen as the face of the tournament. He's going to be Brazil's golden boy, certainly. So I hope that his performance levels pick up a little bit before that stage, and I'm hopeful that being at Barcelona should help him in that respect.
It's 12 months. It's going to be a huge 12 months for Neymar coming up. Oscar, you mentioned there, and Oscar is someone who I'm sure you knew a lot more about than we did before he joined Chelsea. At Chelsea, he seemed to come on, just leaps and bounds, and doesn't look like a young player in that Chelsea side at all. He looks experienced and so comfortable in the Premier League and Champions League. Brazilian fans treating kind of the Neymar hysteria, is there anything like that around Oscar? Because the way he's played over the last 12 months and his adaption to European football and the quality he's shown throughout the last 12 months has been something that I think a number of people have been very surprised about, but absolutely ecstatic to see.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think if you dig a little bit beneath the excitement surrounding Neymar, I think you would probably say that Oscar is as important to this side as Neymar is. He's not as showy, obviously, and I think part of his attraction is that he plays things so simply. Like, he won't go for the flicks. He'll just pass, move, run. His fitness levels are fabulous. He'll just motor away all game. And I think among, for example, there's Lucas as well from Paris Saint-Germain. Those three players are really seen as kind of the next generation. I think there's certainly no doubt that of the three, Oscar has probably been the best in the Brazil shirt for the last year and a half, even 2 years, really built upon his performances at the Olympics. And I think he's the kind of player that will just be more and more appreciated over time as he just goes about his thing.
Now, Jack, you were at the Italy-Mexico game yesterday. You did see an incredible moment in footballing history. Pirlo with that fantastic free kick on his 100th cap appearance for the Italians. Is there a Brazilian player who can be that Pirlo for the national team, for Brazil in the next year? Is there anybody that stands out that could play that role, that just comfortable sat in front and control the game as well as Andrea Pirlo can?
Yeah, I think that player is probably Hernanes of Lazio. Now, I'm a big fan of his. I've been hoping to see him in the starting 11 for the last 2 years, really. I think he's a fabulous player, two-footed, you know, plays the simple pass as well, but can also get his head up and, you know, pick out the front men. He's a real talented player all round, I think. But you know, I have to give Scolari some credit. He's found a partnership, which is Luis Gustavo and Paulinho. And that's started to really work. So I think Hernanes might be the kind of player who's used maybe against a more modest team, might even be an impact sub in a lot of cases, because Paulinho and Luis Gustavo have done so well together. Luis Gustavo is kind of the guy that drops into the back line. Commentators won't really say his name during the game. He'll be kind of almost anonymous, but that's a great thing, I think, when you're a defensive midfielder. He just gets the ball with a minimum of fuss, tactically superb, and that allows Paulinho to just raid forward. We saw, obviously, against Japan that he scored that fine goal. He did very well against England as well, scored that late bursting run into the box, which he's done so well for Corinthians over the last 3 years. I think that partnership is probably the one that we're going to see in the World Cup now, meaning that the passer from deep, Hernanes, will probably just be more of a bit part player, unfortunately.
Just finally, Jack, I know you're a very busy man indeed, and I don't want to keep you inside too long talking to us. You should be out enjoying Rio de Janeiro and all it has to offer. Maybe a nice caipirinha on the beach or something like that, man. But before we let you go, I've got to ask, we've got Italy playing Brazil in the last game of this Group A. What you saw from yesterday from Italy, Is there something for Brazil to really fear when you look at the way that Pirlo and Balotelli played and the kind of the party players around them as well? It was a very complete Italian performance. Is there a real fear from the Brazilians that this Italy side could really upset and be that second loss on home soil in a competitive game?
I think people are wary of Italy, rightly so. At the stadium yesterday, a lot of people were commenting how comfortable on the ball, particularly their defenders were. So, you know, Chiellini is a really nice player on the ball, Barzagli. And these players can really spray the ball about. De Rossi and Pirlo have a fantastic movement between them. They just fill in the spaces the other one leaves. What I would say, I think Brazil probably could have some joy down the flanks. I didn't think Marchisio or Giaccarini were up to much on either side. And I think the fullbacks can also be got at, especially as Brazil like to double up on the wings. So you'll see Marcelo has been excellent recently. I think he could give Abate a real tough time on that flank. So I think if Brazil can kind of almost just go head to head with Italy in the midfield, or even just, you know, shut down 80% of play in the middle of the park, I think there could be some joy on the wings. And I think Brazil probably have more flair players than Italy have, you know, players capable of a little bit of magic to win the game. Whereas probably for Italy, I see that only really as Balotelli and Pirlo, whereas the others are kind of just, you know, very, very good players, but more supporting actors. So I think Brazil, you know, I'd be backing Brazil in that particular encounter.
Brazil to win it, Jack, just before we let you go.
I'm in Brazil, so I'm going to have to say yes.
Fantastic. Jack, we really appreciate you taking some time out from your holiday stroke work trip down to Rio de Janeiro, mate. I hope you enjoyed the Confederations Cup there as much as we've enjoyed the first few days of it here in the US and the UK, man. And we appreciate you taking some time and having a chat with us today, man.
Thank you. Speak soon.
You too, man. Jack Lang joining us from Rio de Janeiro to talk all things Brazilian football, and the Confederations Cup continues with those great games that we saw over the weekend. Rafa and myself will be having a look at them in just a moment. Jack, probably one of the luckiest people.